everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded April 5th, 2017. Here's episode 38 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., home of Trump Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue, and a house that is white, featuring Donald Trump and not his wife, Melania. I didn't say
not
that correctly.
His wife?
Not, I don't, whatever. I don't care.
She doesn't
not his wife,
yet.
Whatever. If you don't share the same bed, you're not married.
No.
To me.
No.
Unless there's like a medical issue. That's different.
That they don't want to fuck. Is that medical?
No.
It's Wednesday, April 5th, day 75 of the Trump title reign. 75. You know there's like 1,400 of these, if everything goes right, for one term.
That's fine.
Okay, I'm just
I don't think he's going to have a Bruno Sammartino run, so I'm not that
it's
worried.
It's not looking that way. He looks like a transitional champ at this point.
Before we go any further, The Great American Bash is a podcast about presidential politics and or professional wrestling and why the two meet. We are qualified to talk about this because we have a book.
It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into... How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling.
It's available at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com or PresidentWrestler.com or one of the other eight URLs I bought and forgot about. So it's all there. We're also qualified because we've written about this quite a bit, most recently in Slate and in the Washington Post and Roll Call and stuff like that. You could find all of that at our Facebook page, facebook.com/or/. It doesn't matter. You know how to use Facebook.
It doesn't matter.
Gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. If you were listening to this on the SoundCloud account, thank you. All of the episodes are available in the You, Me, Them, Everybody account. If you are listening to this in the You, Me, Them, Everybody account, it's a lot easier to share from SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/The Great American Bash. I think I got all the plugs out of the way.
You did a great job.
The reason why I wanted to do the plugs this week, we always forget, number one, is you do 2-minute SmackDown Live and 3-minute Raw.
Correct.
Which I think is a fantastic primer for what the hell's going on in the world of professional wrestling without having to through
hours and hours of content.
And that's not an exaggeration anymore.
No, it's not. We'll get to. But this week, we have a big show.
Well, it's a big show.
And it is the unmasking. Is this in politics or wrestling? Who's to know? Who's to say? The big thing this week that Trump is tweeting about and therefore everyone in politics is talking about is the unmasking of a few U.S. persons in some intelligence reports. Basically, if NSA collects something and you're a U.S. citizen, they redact the name because they're not supposed to be collecting your name. But sometimes people in government can say, well, it's important I know who this Russian spy talked with. Can you unmask them?
One last thing before we go any further. It is 5:50 p.m. on Wednesday. It's important to timestamp this because we've been working on this all day. I'm not going to say that what Assad did in Syria is less or more important than this specific story, but this one's a lot more fun to talk about.
Yes.
Therefore, we're going to stick with hair versus mask.
Yeah, we generally avoid the gassing of people. So basically, yeah, Trump's been talking about this since Sunday, since WrestleMania. He's conflating, you know, somewhat on purpose, maybe because he doesn't understand the difference. Unmasking is not leaking. Leaking is, you know, leaking, bringing it to the public's attention.
It's not fake. It's predetermined.
That's the distinction. You know, his sources have been Fox and Friends and Drudge that now say that the unmasker was very well known, very high up, very senior. And it could possibly be Susan Rice, if you believe this widely discredited guy, Joseph G. DeGenova. He's... When you read about him on right-wing sites on conservative flights. He's referred to as a U.S. attorney. Suggests maybe he was a U.S. attorney when this is happening. He has firsthand knowledge. He was the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia from 1983 to 1988. So he's a little out of the loop. But he seems that he thinks he knows.
He was the
about.
U.S. attorney when there were still the territories.
Yeah, he was like the U.S. attorney for NWA. And he is now widely discredited, like who worked in NWA. And it's kind of, you know, this is just the wiretap lie that everyone's been talking about. We've talked about. It's been discredited. So it's time to move on to a new target. It's time to move on to a new challenger. And right now it's happens to be a black woman with ties to Benghazi.
So the wrestling analog is this one is
brilliant.
It's perfect. You could take over.
I've been thinking of it. There's a bunch of, we have a couple more of these analogs that just like hit me like a stone cold stunner. So in wrestling, there's a thing from the Lucha Libre tradition known as luchas de apuestas, matches with wagers, first happened in 1940. And this is when you have mask versus mask, or mask versus hair, mask versus title, any of these combinations. Because in the lucha tradition, you wear a mask and that's your character. And when your mask is removed, it's a great shame to your family.
And in storyline, this goes back to the Aztecs. In storyline,
head versus head.
You're not that far off, but yeah, this is the persona. This is how you have Son of Santos. This is how you have Son of Blue Demon. This is important stuff. This is why Rey Mysterio, no joke, is super popular, because he's got merch to sell. Yeah. Rey Mysterio has kids. They will be, and he's Rey Mysterio Jr. There will be Rey Mysterio the Third inevitably.
Yes, and I mean, they have masks to sell. They have they're one of these. I'd say the most famous lucha de apuesta in the U.S. that people would know is a hair versus hair match, the Battle of Billionaires between Donald Trump and Vince McMahon. We've written and talked about that one ad nauseum. But that's the big one. I mean, the hair match was the U.S., one of the U.S. variants popularized by Gorgeous George. You can read about this in the Donald.
And this is in WrestleMania history, in theory, last year. It was supposed to be career versus streak, not even streak, sorry, career versus Taker.
Yeah,
Shane McMahon was supposed to be fired after he lost to Undertaker, but he went over so well, they just said, no, now you're the fake GM. It's great.
Yeah.
This is a tradition.
Yeah, the unmasking is a great tradition. It's a very American tradition. I think the also a great one was Kane being unmasked when he lost to Triple H in 2003. Kane is the devil's favorite demon. He was burnt up in his house by the Undertaker when he was a kid. None of this is real. But when he was unmasked, he went crazy. And he eventually tombstoned Linda McMahon, who is now the small business administrator in the Trump administration.
You did not see Kane at WrestleMania 33 / Batista front tattoo / what was that Pumpkins lyric I've been using?
Speak to me in a language I can understand.
WrestleMania 33. Because he's currently, though he's under contract with the WWE, currently not wrestling because he's preparing to run for office in Tennessee.
Mayor of Knox County.
So, yep.
Yeah. The demon's favorite libertarian. He's running for office.
He's got an event later this month. He's going to be sharing a stage with Rand Paul. If and when there are any real updates about his candidacy, we will have updates on the devil's favorite son. Is it the demon's? Say it again.
I think it's the devil's favorite demon.
The devil's favorite demon.
Devil's favorite libertarian, not demon's favorite libertarian, but it gets lost in the mix. We have beasts incarnate, we have the demon Finn Balor, we have all the types of stuff. We also have another one that's kind of an unfortunate wrestling and politics connection today. ISIS making one of their first statements since Trump was elected, or since became president. They called him a stupid idiot, and that's not necessarily funny. I mean, it kind of is, I think.
Trump made the list of ISIS.
Yeah, they're going on the list. So Chris Jericho, we just play like a... Do we even need to play a clip of him?
No. Nope.
He's been calling people stupid idiots for like 6 months. This is gimmick infringement.
Come on, ISIS.
He should take ISIS to wrestler's court.
Well, who's gonna...
I know, Taker's not there. Maybe JBL.
JBL definitely be the one to handle ISIS.
Yeah. I say we send JBL to ISIS.
This is not even on the notes. The day before WrestleMania... Donald Trump retweeted out
a
positive statement from real life wrestler and real life Fox business analyst
John
JBL.
Layfield, JBL,
about how great of a job he's doing. And
how much do you think he knows he's a wrestler, or he just retweets nice things?
Mixture of both. Yeah. If you're on Fox and there's a positive clip,
he's watching Fox all day. We know that from his tweets. Those are his main sources. It's just a feedback loop. But yes, the fact that he retweeted JBL on the day before Mania was a big part of our Mania weekend. but
yeah, it was WrestleMania 33.
Not the biggest one, part of the weekend. That would be the 7 hours of WrestleMania.
Oh boy,
which we'll now recap in real time,
very quickly. So I did not watch all 7 hours. You did.
Yeah.
You're a masochist. You watched the video packages before
some of them. I wanted to see what they were working with.
Crazy.
I also watched NXT the night before. I didn't watch Raw. I watched most of SmackDown, and that's it. And I watched some indie stuff, but just matches here and there. There's a lot of wrestling. It's exhausting.
Too much. Too much wrestling.
Too much tuna. Yeah. What were your... We could do match by match. Was there anything here that jumped out?
Let's just do match by match and make it quick. So Neville versus Austin Aries. I heard that Austin Aries has a concussion, and it was a great match, and it shouldn't have been on the pre-show, but somebody had to be at the pre-show.
Yes. I don't think he has a concussion because he wrestled last night.
Okay, fantastic.
So I hope he doesn't have a concussion. They would never do that.
Something we called, Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Giant Battle Royale simply because he is BFFs with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, who was in the match.
Good for him.
He did the pounce onto Jinder Mahal, and a security guard maybe didn't realize he was supposed to break the jump over the barrier. It was the same security guard. This is where people are going, it's a work, because last year when Maurice slapped a guy, same security guard. So she doesn't really get kayfabe, I guess. But yeah,
it doesn't matter. I love it. I didn't see it other than that part of the Under the Giant.
And that's
Battle
why
Royale.
They did it, so that they could be on ESPN with.
I saw it on ESPN on the gym. I do think that it's a fantastic use of football players. We should talk about this more often. WrestleMania 2, one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. As a product, but one of the most interesting because it was in three locations, one of which was Chicago, Illinois, technically Rosemont, Illinois, doesn't matter, the Rosemont Horizon, and they had a football player / wrestler battle royale.
Yeah.
So you check off the wrestler football box. Football players have been part of wrestling since ever, since the Gorgeous George era.
And before they made the money they do now, where they needed a sideline in the offseason.
Exactly. So this is a proud tradition, actually, that we should be honoring every year. I'm okay with it. This is how they burn their celebrity spot, not even on the main show.
Yeah.
That was great use of it.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, it's the content age. They're going to get on ESPN, whether it's the pre-show or not. Only marks care.
Brilliant.
A thing that no one cared about, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin, for the Intercontinental title, a prestigious title in the land of fake sports, but moved to the pre-show for time. It was fine. They had a better match last night.
Yeah, their match last night on SmackDown was very good.
They should have had that. The build up to this match involved a forklift. They should have had an Extreme Rules match.
So I'm convinced that this was the match that Dean Ambrose wanted to have with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32.
Very much so.
Because WrestleMania 32 match, this is not political in any way, I apologize. It was supposed to be a no-holds-barred match, and then Dean goes on Stone Cold's podcast and explains
Brock's not going to do that shit.
He's not going to do it. Therefore, he got to kind of do it 2 days after Mania, a year later.
Yes. So he got his payback. Onto the main show, started strong with a big match from AJ Styles and Shane McMahon, the guy who was supposed to retire last year.
So Vince McMahon's third favorite kid wrestled probably the match of the night against the best wrestler on the card who believes in a flat earth. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it depends where you put that comma. Is he the best wrestler on the roster who of the subset of flat earthers?
I think he could check both boxes.
I think he does check both. But yeah, this match, this is the exact Shane McMahon match. If you've seen Shane McMahon, if you watched the 90s, it involved a coast-to-coast to a garbage can. It involved a shooting star press where he landed right on his face. And AJ won. And I will say...
Incredibly impressive.
Almost every one of these matches, if not all of them, every match ended the way it should for storyline purposes.
Agreed completely.
Nothing that was very...
Agreed
was
completely.
Confusing. There's one I have a note on that could have been better. In ISIS's favorite match, Kevin Owens over Chris Jericho.
My favorite match of the night, hands down. As a match, hands down.
Okay, so as a
not
match.
Not the best.
That callback of the one finger on the rope.
That's why.
Okay.
That's why. Also, Kevin Owens is my favorite because I like my big boys.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho. This is peak Jericho. He's never been better. This is a great time to give our wall update.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration. Yeah.
Okay, so right now, the United States government is taking bids on the wall. I saw a report today on CNN. Yeah. 10% of the bids are coming from Mexican companies.
Amazing.
Because they're like, hey, if you're going to build it, we should cash in. Good for them. Yep. That's been our update on the wall.
Right. Moving on to our first of two women's matches on the main card. First time that they've had two real wrestling matches that didn't involve bra, panties, or pillows, or Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, you know, they of decent time.
This match is now the second longest match in women's wrestling history in WrestleMania.
There you go. Until last year's?
Until 32, yeah.
So this was a lesser version of last year's match. Bayley versus Charlotte, Nia and Sasha. I still think there was... I think they messed up because they didn't fully take the... There was a spot here where Sasha Banks hits her head. She's supposed to be knocked out.
You're convinced that there was something that happened.
It felt rushed, but I don't know how much that was. It was still a
long
match.
You were convinced night of that...
There was a botch.
There was,
because Sasha's done this, she works really balls to the wall, whatever the female equivalent of that is, and hurts herself.
I like this match much more than you.
Right.
Even in retrospect, I still like it just as much, almost as much as last year's.
Right.
I don't change anything. Good for them. No real political analog. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, so the next one was scheduled as a triple threat for a ladder match between three teams, none of which mattered because right before the match, the Hardy Boys came out and entered this match.
Okay, so we called this one as well.
Yes.
What we didn't call was the type of Hardy Boys that we now have in the WWE. Once they announced this was a ladder match, it was inevitable. Okay, we're going to have them. For weeks, there's been talk of WWE buying Ring of Honor. Are they going to buy it just to get the Hardy Boys? No, the Hardy Boys work the press. Like both Clinton and Trump and every other presidential candidate ever has worked the press. They did the right thing. They weren't actually under contract, blah, blah, blah. They are now part of the WWE. But not Broken Matt and not Brother Nero.
Yeah, the intellectual property that they created while they were at TNA Impact is in dispute. TNA had issued cease and desist to Ring of Honor, and they kind of toned it down. They were still 75,000 people were chanting delete. He was still doing the arm things, making weird faces, has bleached hair. The thing, he has toned it down on WWE products. I didn't think of this like a political analog before, but this might be like the Russia investigation. It's just this little thread you start pulling. If they say, hey, yeah, go out there and be Broken Matt, TNA sues, they could bankrupt the company just by being in court, and they would then buy the tape library and everything they want.
Yeah, this is why it's fascinating. This doesn't even need a political analog. This is politics.
Right.
I don't know what the smart answer is. I think it's interesting. I'm clearly not happy that we don't have Broken Matt and Brother Nero. That's why they're back.
Right.
That being said, what is going on around it makes it so much more fascinating. I'm kind of glad that we don't get what we want right away.
And so let's see how this plays out, and which that can be said to their whole run because they did win the belts, and we'll see how we have some more wrinkles that we'll get to. This will be when they're doing montages of this Mania. This will be one of the two moments they do, depending how certain things go.
This is a really great show. We'll get to that at the end.
Yeah. So John Cena and Nikki Bella against Miz and Maryse, a 9.5-minute house show that ended with a proposal.
I thought it was like a 3-minute match.
It should have been a 3-minute match.
I'm totally fine with 9 minutes. The fact that it felt so short is a good thing.
Yeah, it should. And a show that where it's 7 hours and everything feels long. My only thing, and this is the one, the asterisk, it's fine, they went over, I don't really care about it, he was going to propose anyway. I think there was a way to do this where Miz and Maryse win, they cheat, and they get the rub, because both of these, as we know today, Cena and Nikki are gone for at least 6 months.
You can't do that.
What?
You can't have them lose and get, you can't have.
Yeah, you do. In the ring.
I disagree completely. All right. I understand why you're saying that.
That's how it is in my e-fed, in my head.
I think Cena and Nikki are clearly the Bill and Hillary. Where a lot of people think...
A fake relationship to further their careers.
Two things, how you know it's actually real and not just storyline stuff. Cena actually uses her real life name.
Yep. Unless he's working you into a shoot.
Either way, I love it. Number two, this is what I freeze framed. I don't know if you saw today. He went to Tiffany. He uses a Tiffany box. Cade Jewelers is a sponsor of WWE. Throughout the year, there's like... Propose to your fiance at fucking WWE house show. And
Cena will stop his match and go. He's done that before on TV.
So that's how I know it was actually real, because like, I'm not getting you a K-Jeweler shit.
K-Fabe Jewelers.
So there, I love this. There's a long and proud tradition, most notably Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man.
Yeah. No, I mean, in a wedding that happens in wrestling lasts forever, like any other marriage. The match that definitely took a lot of the oxygen out of the room, I think. Seth Rollins over Triple H with Stephanie McMahon. Triple H, the Jared Kushner of the WWE. Stephanie McMahon, the Ivanka, who went through a table. Got her comeuppance.
Vince's second favorite kid of the night. Yeah, it,
Stephanie.
Yeah, this was such a whatever match. I understand why it exists. Yeah.
25 minutes.
It's the longest match of the night. It's the one match you could cut and not lose anything, other than the entrance, because guys, Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah, Triple H came out on a motorcycle, much like how Trump drives around in a truck. He had cops, and then Rollins had a torch.
If you don't have Rollins going over, this is the most mirror to society match of the night.
Right. Yeah, instead, the guy who dated a Nazi went over. Probably the worst match of the night in a lot of ways. Randy Orton over Bray Wyatt. With
not going to disagree. Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to disagree. But at least they tried to go a little weird. I kind of feel this is completely based on nothing. Bray Wyatt, similar to Dean Ambrose last year, kind of had his hands tied. He was not working with a willing participant.
Right.
No way to prove this. There's really no political analog other than just like a vice president that didn't want to go along with the candidate. But we don't have that anymore now that presidents get to pick their vice president.
True. And in this one, we had 10 minutes and an overhead projector of some maggots. And it was fine in the moment, but it didn't do anything for the storyline. A storyline they've been doing really well since October, and it ended. It hasn't even ended. It was kind of a midpoint.
Yeah, closed two segments last night.
Yeah.
So
it's not even over. The first one of the headlining matches, Brock Lesnar over Goldberg in 4 minutes 45 seconds, got it under that 5 o'clock mark.
Perfect match.
Exactly what it needed to be. They both got their moves. The guy who's 50 and retiring doesn't win with the championship.
I loved it. I thought that there was either some botched camera angles or some perfect camera angles after the first few Germans. Goldberg literally jumps back into screen and spears Lesnar seemingly out of nowhere.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman, the best person in the company,
does great work.
Every year he steals the show. It's great. There's absolutely nothing to improve this. We'll get to this storyline later.
Yeah. So in the penultimate match of the Ultimate Thrill Ride, Naomi over the other women in SmackDown in just over 5 minutes. I think people were nervous this was going to actually get cut, which happened a few years ago.
Yeah. I am extremely glad this match happened. Yeah. Unlike the other women's match, you like this more than me.
Yes.
I thought that this deserved at least another 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, deserved, but I think they did the best they could, and everyone got their shit in. And
not disagreeing. This had two of the worst outfits and gimmicks of the night.
Who?
Mickie James. Okay. Unfortunate.
She is part Native American.
I am glad that you know that. Because
yes.
It was real touch and go for a minute.
And it's not apparently it's not the first time. But yeah, coming out in a headdress screams Coachella.
Tatanka meets Coachella. Not a good look.
Not good.
And secondly, Becky Lynch, my favorite women's wrestler in the entire company, consistently the worst gear of anyone in the entire company.
Yeah.
Horrible Avatar-esque makeup, but instead of like green and blue, it was gold.
She had a line across her face. I don't know.
Ooh, it was bad.
She had some fake dreads going on. Talking about appropriation, it was not great. But anything...
I know I shouldn't be judging women, by the way.
You should. It's but you should judge them by how they look.
The second worst outfit was Seth Rollins' leafs on his gold pants.
Yeah, he should go back
Come
to
on.
The white Power Ranger. You can put the comma anywhere you want in that one.
Come on.
That he did a few years ago at SummerSlam. So the main event...
Oh, really quick. This is an important note. This was in Orlando.
Oh, yeah, the thing you thought was going to happen didn't happen.
This is the one thing that I thought was like a shoo-in.
Yeah.
There was an entire episode of Total Divas.
Right.
And if you don't think that Total Divas goes into booking, the middle of this show was all about Total Divas next season with the Cena Nikki proposal. So this is in Orlando. Naomi's from Orlando. She is over. No one's pushing her down anybody's throat. She's like organically over. Yeah. She gets the same love as Daniel Bryan. She comes back after an injury. How do you not do a Pulse tribute?
A club she had in Total Divas, at least, storyline, she went to. Her gimmick is this EDM. She's a dancer. like it was clearly like in Total Divas there she's hanging out with her gay friends who she used to go to Pulse with. Yeah, it seemed like they could have done it.
Do you think they just got cut for time? Because I feel like they're not going to waste a brilliant opportunity like this.
To be, yeah, it must have been time because they probably had, they might have had something.
They'll say we're progressive on social issues and do horrible things like not insure anyone because they need to have five more fireworks.
Right. You got really upset watching every unnecessary pyro going, that's someone's insurance.
So I that's my one question of why didn't that happen?
Yeah, that's one for the history books.
And I kind of regret not having that on the show.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to make wrestling fans watch that tribute indefinitely.
Yeah.
Because this is on the network forever.
And it'll be part of their marketing. But instead of celebrating that, they did celebrate another death as Roman Reigns eventually went over The Undertaker and Undertaker retired.
Good. Fuck the Undertaker.
Yeah, this match, it's fine. It just really popped out there. This match was fine, but total the booing, the hatred. But it's fine. It was going to happen. It was inevitable. And sometimes in this stuff in politics in wrestling, you have to move on from the realities.
You can't hold on forever, guys. You can't let it go.
Yeah.
Also, The Undertaker sucks. Here's why: the personification of death. Love it.
Yeah.
He should lose when his guy loses. When Paul Bearer dies, he should have lost because that's like the power source.
Right.
Therefore, storyline purposes, he should have lost to Punk.
I know.
Am I from Chicago? Yes.
Yes. Everyone wanted Punk to retire, except for Jared Kushner. Okay? Triple H.
If you take away, if he goes over there, it's the perfect storyline, his greatest wrestler of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you get five more years trotting out the same candidate, Hillary. You get five more years of sadness and easy victories that you fucked up, Hillary's people. It's so obvious what was going to happen. I am glad that it went to Roman Reigns simply because that dude's a dad who clearly loves his family and daughter way more than the industry.
To get booed for 10 minutes to start Raw and then say one line and leave. He's if he's not having fun with it, he better start because it's just beginning.
I love him.
Yeah. No Pride tribute, and also three things that we on varying degrees we thought was probably going to happen. I think as we got closer to Mania, we realized Trump was not going to be there.
Yes, and but yeah. Then the day before,
then he retweeted a wrestler, so we thought it was getting closer. So no Trump, no Hulk Hogan, even though they had three black guys who they've used to put over races before. No Hogan.
You can't allude to it. You need to say what it is.
So they, at the Hall of Fame last year, the New Day, who hosted WrestleMania this year, introduced or inducted
the Freebirds.
The Freebirds. Michael P.S. Pierce Sexy Hayes, who they used to come out in Confederate flag makeup.
On their faces.
Yeah, just to make it clear. So Hulk Hogan, it seemed like that could have happened.
There was a lot of internet rumors from a lot of reputable sources about 2 hours before Mania that he would do something with The Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Maybe it was also just a lot of people working weekend shifts for regular news organizations that have no idea about wrestling, and they found a stock photo from WrestleMania 30 at the Silver Dome that we all know and love with The Rock and Hogan.
And no Rock or Hogan.
The Hogan thing, I'm incredibly grateful. I thought he was going to make an appearance on Raw for a second. Yeah. There was a lot of signs. Usually they wouldn't, in past years, they would move guys in full outfit. They did not move them out of camera. I was worried about that. I'm glad that didn't happen. There wasn't Rock for the first time in 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, he's been pretty consistent. I guess he's filming.
Well, it's also, there was a death in the family.
Okay.
So that's why he wasn't there.
Right.
So we were kind of right, kind of wrong, because we predicted Rock, Vin Diesel a year ago.
Right.
Because Fast 8 is still coming out this weekend. I'm not hearing nearly as much about it as I thought I would have.
No, it's not really getting the buzz, so maybe they didn't get any rub off that. Yeah, but Hogan, as you said, next year, back to the Silver Dome, but not really. Back to the Superdome?
It is a Superdome.
Where Hogan once botched
the
name.
No, I'm confused. Pontiac Silverdome was in Michigan. And the Mercedes-Benz
Superdome. Yeah.
/ Katrina House.
They're going back to the Katrina House.
Okay, so
that's the stuff that didn't happen at Mania.
Yes.
But Mania, it's a spirit within you for the next 3 days. So post-Mania, Raw and SmackDown, well, Raw generally, the day after, it's a big time to bring people back. People come back from injuries, bring people up, sign new people. This year we got Kurt Angle as your new GM.
Okay, so the political analog is obvious. He was a legit gold medalist.
Yeah.
So he's met the president, in the President Clinton.
He's met presidents, I'm sure.
He definitely met President Trump, because there was multiple manias where Trump was there. He watched him, I think, at 2020.
Yeah.
So there you go. By the way, I think it's the first time I said President Trump.
In real life? Or
in real, both. I think I always remember him as the Donald.
Yeah.
That's a plug. Kurt Angle is a perfect example of substance abuse. And the opioid addiction and the opiate crisis in this country.
And we care because Kurt Angle is white.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Much like
that's,
the opioid
that's a
crisis.
Given. That's a given.
Yeah, okay. Also making their debuts in the last couple of days, The Revival, great tag team from NXT. Ty Dillinger, big fan favorite. Shinsuke fucking Nakamura came up yesterday on SmackDown, only to interrupt The Miz and do his entrance and then cut to commercial.
Yeah, it was great.
But it was kind of great.
I loved it.
It's Shinsuke.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, also we had some returns from injury. Finn Balor being the big one. Emma finally came back. We finally got we got Obamacare back. Remember? She's ACA. We'll see what happens to ACA during this administration. Eric Rowan came back on SmackDown. My favorite part of that was David Otunga going, "Who is that?" Oh, the 6'8 guy with the green coveralls and the red beard with the sheep mask? Yeah, we know who that is.
Well, people in the arena were chanting Braun. Brown? Braun? Braun.
Braun. Like brawny, yeah. So, the people in the audience are dumb.
Really quick, I realized I passed up. The Undertaker is Vince's favorite kid. That's what I was alluding to.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
Gotcha, I wasn't sure which of his kids, which of his real and fake kids. Well, because Shane's not his.
Yeah, he's the third favorite.
He's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who is using my name? The biggest news was the Donald Trump of the WWE when Vince McMahon showed up to make one of his annual appearances. He said that next week there will be a superstar shakeup.
It looks like Vince is swerving some people, and it looks like Trump is too.
You get swerved.
Yeah. Also today, news of a shakeup of the National Security Council. Literally, I saw a shakeup in a headline. I almost passed out. Trump has taken Steve Bannon out of the Security Council. He's demoted his Homeland Security advisor. He's put the National Intelligence Director, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, back on. He's the National Security Advisor has more powers. Basically, what everyone was freaking out about before, that why is Bannon... Why
Not
is,
everything.
No.
A lot of it.
But the fact that Bannon's out and the Joint Chiefs of Staff...
Let's be clear. He's out of one thing.
Right.
He's still in the White House. He's still an advisor. He's still very high up. But, similar to Vince, the Donald doesn't really let people slide down the scale. They're kind of done. Yeah. So it would not be surprising to me if Bannon's working for Impact Wrestling in 2 months. Because that seems to be the trend with these guys.
Yeah.
Once you have the belt, if you don't do anything with it, you're done. I don't think Dean Ambrose is ever going to get another title
run.
You're
not getting a second run. You're not getting a second push after that first one fizzles. So, yeah, maybe this is the first hint that Bannon's out.
So,
but, yeah, like with wrestling where there was 7 hours on Sunday and another 7 hours of the week and all the indie content and Joey Janela's spring break and all these things to watch, it's just too much. Too much politics, too much wrestling.
For the first time, I think that I can't keep up, and I don't even think that the people in charge can keep up, which is interesting, too.
Right. It's not worrisome at all. I mean, no, when we do the political stuff, which I am only interested in the context of this, and I don't really know what's going on. I read the Times briefing. I kind of just keep it up, make sure that, you know, make sure that like nothing crazy happened, like North Korea testing a missile or something. I just check for that stuff, and then I move on with my life. And then when we do this, I'm like, all right, what has Trump been tweeting about since we last podcasted? That should give me a sense of what we're dealing with here.
I think it's
not a good way to do it.
No, it's so you clearly watched Raw and SmackDown Live because you have to cut these things together. There's this graphic now teasing next week's like superstar shakedown, shake up, whatever. Yeah. And there's everyone on both rosters. I think that's how it kind of feels with every little news story. But they're all on the level of like Cena and Brock and not like the Goldberg or not Goldberg. Sorry.
Gold dust.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. That's an issue. That's a problem. There's a lot to handle and there's no Undertaker there to just chokeslam everyone and make it simple anymore.
I wish there was.